This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Welcome back, Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Truly educated educators talking education, or as we've been saying, education cubed. Johnny Lupinacci out there in the state of Washington, man, you got your hat on. It's a little cold or what, man?
Yeah, after unusually warm temperatures, it's cooling off up here.
Okay.
So we're in full sprint now. Semester's up and going. You know, all the teachers are back. The kids are back. We had strong MLK Day yesterday and lots of good things happening. Lots of good conversations in classrooms and in communities. And so it's good to be here.
Well, you know, Johnny, here we go, right? Prognostication episode, two episodes ago, you kind of came out of left field with a prognostication of what you think is going to surprise us in 2023. And that was this sense of educators, you know, whether they be principals, teachers, however they are, but stepping up, entering the political arena, running for office, doing those things. Johnny Lupinacci, your prognostication, though, man, we just found out you were late to the show on our show, or you were late to the, you know, whatever you want, to the prognostication on our show tonight. Jess Piper is a mother of five and grandmother to three and lives on a small farm in on the Missouri-Iowa border. She was born and raised in rural America. She received degrees in English and teaching from the University of Arkansas and was an American literature teacher for 16 years. After the 2016 election of Trump, Jess became politically active, ran for office in 2022 for state representative in HD1 in Northwest Missouri. She was not successful, but used the experience to organize progressives in rural Missouri. Jess is the executive director for Blue Missouri, hosts a weekly podcast called Dirt Road Democrat, which can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. Jess Piper, how did you beat Johnny Lupinacci's prognostication? An educator running for office.
Huh? Yeah, well, you know, I live in Missouri. It's the show me state, right?
I mean, hey, I love it.
I'm going to show you.
Johnny, what do you make of this, man? Your prognostication. We'll give you credit, though. You know, I think this is good because we're going to have Jess here. But, we're chatting a little bit about this. I was like, Johnny, man, she beat you.
Well, no, man. I mean, I think more than beat me, inspired me. Okay. Because Jess and others who come from the front lines of education who have championed that education isn't just a speaking point, but it's a matter of action and a matter of national security for any democracy. And so, you know, Jess among others out there have inspired it. I just think, Tim, the more we spread that word, the more we share that importance, the more there are teachers and educators and people in our community who have that experience, who are similar to Jess, can say, enough, let's do this. I love that. I love, Jess, that you said it's the show me state. I think, you know, we're kind of the show me country, right? So let's get down to it, teachers.
It's the show me radio show, too. Busted Pencils, man. Educated educators, truly talking education. Jess, okay. Teacher for 16 years. Before we talk about the political, though, I mean, what made you interested in teaching? Why teach?
I wasn't necessarily interested in teaching. I went to college and I was getting an English degree, and because I love to read and I loved, you know, literature. So I graduated with a bachelor's and they were like, congratulations, now what? And I couldn't find a job, and I had a couple professors because, you know, you always have to get up and give presentations, and they were like, you should really think about this. So I went back and got a master's in teaching and I loved it. Man, the last 6 years I was teaching American Lit to juniors. I work in rural school, so lots of times I would have five or six preps teaching everything.
Right.
And this school was big enough that I only had juniors, and it was my jam. American Lit, I just absolutely loved it.
And so then from the teaching, I know in your bio it says 2016. Is it really just 2016 that put that kind of political active bug, or was there something all along that was kind of driving you? I mean, talk to us. Tell us about the journey of teacher to running for state office?
Well, I was born and raised, I was born and raised in the South, but most of my education came from Arkansas. And so I went to a tiny little high school in Arkansas, and my mascot, swear to God, was the Hillbillies. We were the Hillbillies. I think we may be the only ones in the country. But anyway, there was a hole in my knowledge, and I didn't realize it until I went to college and I started being really interested in African-American lit, African-American history, and then realizing that I didn't understand the history of slavery at all or what was going on. And so I kind of, you know, leaned into that. I was born and raised as a conservative, but after college, this is why the folks listening right now on the right are like, don't send your kids to college. They turn out to be liberal. I swear to God, they do. But, you know what, for me, you know, born and raised in the Southern Baptist Church, and evangelicalism consumed my life. But all my life, I was told the Bible was the first book ever written. Swear to God, I thought that. And I went to college and read Gilgamesh, and I was like, holy crap. Like, everything starts unraveling.
Right. So there is something to that conservative slant of going, oh my God, don't send them to college. Look what will happen. I wouldn't say they don't have to become liberal or progressive. How about they just become educated, you know?
Yeah, you learn that there are people that have different viewpoints,
right?
You know? And
right.
You learn if like you grow up like me, you learn there's Black people in, you know, in the United States. And so, you know, it just opens up a whole different world.
Yeah. And so working with that and so seeing that, though, but I mean, 16 years and then, you know, to really say, you know, and I've written about the effects of the 2016 election on what I think just the whole nature of education. Johnny and I know this. I've kind of really beaten down on, in fact, on some of my social studies teacher friends where I'm like, look, man, we have nobody to blame but ourselves in this sense. If we look at, you know, how things got elected, I mean, you know, is there that part when you are a teacher, like what is the connection between teaching young children? I mean, not young adults, literature, and then making that shift and move to say, you know what, I'm going to become politically active to the point where I'm going to run for office.
Yeah, I was always, you know, after college, I was a little left leaning, but I didn't pay attention to politics very much because I'm a white person. And, you know, a lot of things just went right over my head. I didn't think, you know, politics had anything to do with me because life was fine. Obama was the president and we were all doing great. Right. And then that shock comes in that I just couldn't believe it. I mean, all of us watched the things he said, the way he treated folks, disabled folks, women, you know, people of color. And so I was just shocked and couldn't believe it happened. But not only that, but everyone around me had voted for him. My parents voted for him. And it's just, you wake up in a different world. And so that's when I decided that, you know, I had to do something. I mean, there were some policies like with Obama, you know, like Race to the Top. Was that what it was called? Race?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're like, this sucks, but you know.
Yeah. The whole Arne Duncan part of Obama, you know, we'd like to forget about that part.
Because we love Obama.
Yeah. Johnny Lupinacci, jump in there, man.
Well, I'm just glad that first of all, thank you, Jess, for joining us tonight. And thank you for your years of service as a teacher and your continued years of service as someone, you know, running for offices and doing democracy every day, right? We are always talking about what does it mean to be part of a democracy, but even more so breaking it down, what does it mean to be doing democracy every day? That's bipartisan. This is about being good, hardworking people who care about one another and especially care about children because they're the future. So thank you for not just those, you know, years of service in the classroom, but all that committed time and effort that you and your family put forth as a matter of ensuring our democratic future. And I'm not saying that as a Democrat or a Republican. I mean, like as a democracy, right? It takes all people. Yeah, it means all folks on deck. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thank you for all that. We appreciate it. And then as you tell us more about that shift, talk to us a little bit about how educators, what can they do? Really, how important is the political aspect? Because we teach teachers, Tim and I, we work with a lot of folks. And that's why I made that prognostication is because I think people are working really hard. And even though they're working really hard, they're not necessarily feeling like they're seeing the change. They're seeing it get harder and harder for kids, harder and harder for families, and even harder and harder for teachers. Even the most privileged of the most privileged teachers out there are eyes wide open to the injustice that's happening in our schools and communities. So your advice in terms of how they can move from the just sheer fed upness that they have to the inspiration, to the energy, to the positive momentum of, you know, of being politically involved as an educator. Because those days of saying, I remember it myself even, you know, like I didn't think of teaching as a political position, but it absolutely is.
Right.
So, and then there's that next step because you feel like you're political, but you feel like you're political without a voice. And so here you are. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it's a crazy time for educators right now. And it can be a dangerous time as well, because of, you know, the political climate. And so when we talk about being, you know, an activist, that could quickly devolve into something awful for teachers, especially teachers who are in places like where I am, you know, in these rural areas. And I have to say this too, I couldn't teach and run for office. It's against the law in Missouri to do that. So when we ask teachers to take that next step, we need to realize you're really asking a lot of someone. And it would be a struggle for me to go back at this point because, you know, because of my stances and because of my politics. So it's a lot to ask somebody. But it's also, we have to be mindful that without us, there's nothing else. And the attack is real and it's coming at us from every different direction. And so it's time for teachers to use their voice. You don't have to use a partisan voice, but you definitely have to be able to say, you know, public education is important. Public school kids are important. These systems that we've created for kids are important. And then move on from there.
You know, and that's it right there, Johnny, right? You know, thinking about that. And Jess, I appreciate that you said, you know, you don't have to be political necessarily to recognize that being active too. Boy, when I didn't realize though too that in Missouri, and I'm sure there are different state laws, but the fact that when you made that decision, you were truly making a decision that said, I'm going to leave education because right. I can't, you know, so realizing that, and then as you said, now you've made a name for yourself, and now how do you can't really go back to teaching. But when we get back though, we want to talk a little bit more and we want to get some concrete advice for more teachers who want to get active. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, back after the break. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Also, it is a call-in show, 844-967-2789. We have a dirt road Democrat, Jess Piper from Missouri, our guest teacher, gone, went and ran for office, and now politically active. Jess, though, I mean, you've got some other things. Dirt Road Democrat, people listening right now, take an opportunity. Where can they find you? What should they be looking for? Dirt Road Democrat, as we said, if we put that into whatever podcast player we're using, we'll find you. Give us some other places where we can find Jess Piper.
So it's I'm working in connection with the Heartland Pod. So if you go to the Heartland Pod, you will find my stream there. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Piper for Missouri. I'm on TikTok, which I love, as Jess Piper Mo. Actually, that was a great way to fundraise. And if we're going to talk about, you know, what the things you actually need to do as a teacher to run for office, fundraising is a big one. So we can talk about that in a minute, too.
Well, okay. So there it is. So those are, you know, put those out there again. We'll give you a chance to put, you know, your plugs for all those places, Dirt Road Democrat. Okay. So Jess, I know there's a teacher out there right now listening. They've been listening for, you know, to the show for years. They're like, oh my God, I hear Johnny and Tim all the time. Johnny put it out there. Now they're like, oh my, now a real teacher ran for office. I want to do it too. What do you, they call you up and go, Jess, I heard you with Johnny and Tim. Give me some advice. Help me. I want to run for state office. What do I do?
Well, Well, find your message first, find your passion, find, for me, it was taking stuff personal. I was sick of paying for everything out of my pocket. I was sick of working for 16 years and getting $41,000 a year and living on $2,400 a month. Like I looked around and saw my kids didn't have the things they needed. They didn't have access to healthcare, to mental health care. Our roads are falling apart. We're, you know, 50th in teacher pay and 49th in educational funding. So I just had had enough. I took it personal and I was like, forget it. In 2020, I went to vote and there was no one listed as a Democrat for state house. And I was like, you know what? If nobody else is going to do it, then I'm going to freaking do it. And I have, like, from the dog catcher all the way to my, you know, Senator Josh Hawley, they're all Republicans. I don't have anyone who represents my progressive ideals. I don't have anybody fighting for kids. And so it was enough. And I know that you have someone listening right now that is exactly where I am. And if they call me right now, I'd say, get your message together. The first thing I did was call the Democrats. And literally, they were like, we don't know who you are. You should run for dog catcher. And then a few months later, I'd raised several, you know, $1,000. And they were like, by the way, can you run for auditor? And I was like, folks, I'm an English teacher. Like, spreadsheets scare the crap out of me. So.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, okay. So fundraising, right? And we're thinking about that. But, you know, the message. I think even that would be intimidating. You gave lots of hints because I think teachers know the message. Was it something you sat down with the family or was it you put it together? You know, what is my message? Like, I'm sick and tired and I'm here now to say kids and schools and communities matter for real.
Yeah. No, that's what it is. It's not sitting around. It feels, and you know, I ended up raising more money than anybody across the state. And I live in a tiny little district that hasn't had a Democrat represent them in 30 years, never had a woman represent them. And people sent me $250,000 from TikTok, Twitter, and Facebook, because this is the message, because this is who I am, because I'm real with you. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to spend the money. And then I'm going to go out there and knock, you know, doors and talk to my neighbors and do everything I can to try to change the conversation, to flip a switch, to do something that I was almost positive was not, you know, wasn't going to happen. But I know there's a teacher that's saying, I'm willing to get my butt kicked on a stage if it means that people hear me and that some people will say, you know, maybe we should think about these things.
Johnny, think about that. Johnny, would you do it if you knew you were going to lose?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's more important than winning is having the kinds of conversations that candidates like Jess have, whether they're running as Democrats or Republicans. I think really when you think about what it means to be in this country, right, and to have a free and have freedom really at stake, I think these are things that most Americans take huge pride in, and they're of massive concern. And when they're in jeopardy, I think it's all hands on deck to have those kinds of conversations. The elections, let the chips fall where they may, right? And we can figure that out. We also have a whole other shows dedicated to that process. But the doing democracy every day starts with conversations and actions that neighbors bring forth to the table with one another all the time. And so formalizing that and taking that next step to have the formal conversations to say, you know what? Like Jess said, if there's no one going to do it, I'm going to do it. Right. That's some salt of the earth stuff that a lot of people in this country can relate to. If someone's not doing it, who's gonna? Well, that's when we step in and we get the job done. And so that's also work that teachers regularly deal with right on the front lines. They're like, wait, we got to feed the kids. Okay. We got to make sure they have clothes. Okay. We got to make sure that they're feeling okay. Great. We got to make sure they're safe right now in this country. And the deck is stacked against the kids and against the teachers and the parents and the families in our communities. And so teachers are well knowledgeable about this. And so them having those conversations is a key step. Jeff, I got a question for you though, as we build here and we go to the break.
Now, Johnny, we're about ready for break. So,
okay. So I'll leave it on this question and you can choose to defer or not. But it came to me while you were talking because I think so many of our listeners and students and teachers out there feel like, well, but I'm not sure if I'm Democrat or I'm Republican or where I am. And so I think a little bit of you sharing that you are in predominantly Republican represented area. You have people close to you care about deeply who are Republican. You yourself have chosen to run as a Democrat, but that it's really a blurred lines right now. And so I want you to speak a little bit to that if you can, because it'll help our listeners better understand that this is truly bipartisan. But at some point, you have to think about what you want your party to represent and how you make that choice.
Exactly. Oh, you know what? Jess, I'm gonna cut you a break and say we're gonna hold you on for the last segment because that's a tough question. Somebody on Twitter said, "Hey, teachers, why not? They got all the time in the world." It said on Twitter, "Yeah, like my God, teacher bashing, busted pencils." Jess Piper. When we get back, more from the Dirt Road Democrat. More than the undertow here, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, man. And we have an educator who took Johnny's prognostication before Johnny made the prognostication, ran for state office, Jess Piper from Missouri. You know, we've had some great conversation over the two segments, and you were talking about teachers. You know, they want to know what to do. They want to get their message. They want to get out there. They want to contact a political organization. We were talking during the break, though, and this is the, you know, you talked about the fact of being from a very red rural area, growing up very red, having lots of red Republican family members. How did that come as an easy decision at the metaphorical Thanksgiving table when Jess was running as a liberal progressive teacher?
Well, I haven't been invited home in 6 years. And that was because I voted for Hillary Clinton. So, and it was it's actually my stepdad, but my mom, you know, she knew, and we don't, this is very privileged for me to say, we don't talk about politics because we cannot. And that's a privilege of, you know, being who I am, that I don't have to do that with my mom. But, yeah, for some people it can be probably a difficult thing to do. For me, it wasn't, because we had already had a break, you know, after 2016, after Trump was elected. So, but coming out to folks in my town and in my community, and I was still working for a few months after I had announced I was running, you know, before I decided to put in my resignation. And people were just like, oh my gosh, you know, like you were saying, I don't know if I want my kid in her class because she's a Democrat. I don't know, you know. It was bad.
Oh my God. But that's right there, you know, a little bit of a turn, because that's the interesting thing. It's like you were this great, revered, respected teacher until you ran for political office. And it wasn't even that you ran as a Democrat, largely on the platform of what's good for kids, what's good for communities.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for, in fact, everybody in my town, I'm running in support of you and your kids.
Yep.
Like, that's the part where I think about this and go, is there hope then when you come out as an educator who people in the community have seen you as this teacher, respected person, and because now you're running as a Democrat, like, my goodness, she can't be a good teacher. Or it's like, wait a minute, are the politics so out of whack in one sense, when we don't recognize, and Johnny said this during the break, voting against our own interests. Mm-hmm. Boy, when you talk about rural America and public schools, mm-hmm. boy, I look at that voting kind of tendency, or not tendency, but predictable voting places, and go, man, what's going on? Because most of the rural Democrats like you that I know are largely running on, we want to make sure that our local public schools, and yes, Friday night football is still around. Mm-hmm. I mean, just thinking now off the cuff, I mean, how do we engage that conversation? Well, when you went knocking doors, you talked to me mm-hmm. about this on the weekend. Tell, you know, how does that go? So as a candidate, you're going to have to go around and knock doors. So teachers, there you go. Jess is going to tell you, you got to knock on doors. You got to talk to people. When you talk to your neighbors, how did that go?
It was, you know, a crapshoot, honestly, because of where I live, because I live in rural Missouri, because, you know, everybody knows everybody. I could knock on a door and they would absolutely hate my guts. They're not going to be rude to me in general. So people were in general nice. But I mean, our schools are going to 4 days a week. You know, we're cutting back on everything for our kids. And so I knocked a door and it was this little town and this woman had children in school and the school had just gone to 4 days a week. And I handed her my literature and she turned it back and forth. And she says, you know, are you a Republican or a Democrat? And I said, I'm a Democrat. And she said, well, I can't vote for you because I'm a Christian. And I was like, oh, my God. But beyond that, she said, I see you're a teacher. You can do something for me. And I was like, here we go. She's going to say, fund my schools. Right. Right. That's what we think. No. She said, I hope that someone will bring prayer back to school. So this is where we have gotten into the mindset of, in Missouri, we've been under a GOP supermajority for 20 years. People are used to getting less. So we're so used to getting less that we ask for less. We're okay with it. And it's really frustrating because when we see like progressive ballot initiatives, like Medicaid expansion or, you know, marijuana, people vote for it. Mm-hmm. In my community, they vote for it. And then they turn around and vote for, you know, a Republican representative who will absolutely not do the things that they just asked them to do on the ballot initiative. So when you talk about voting against your self-interest, I hate to say that because people never vote against themselves. They just vote like they're a one issue voter. It's abortion or it's guns, you know, one or the other, which, by the way, I said the word abortion a lot, but you started off. I have 5 kids and 3 grandkids. I had people, you know, say something about, you know, you'll take my guns. We have guns that our grandparents passed down. That's just not true. Mm-hmm. But getting over the narrative. And by the way, if you're running for state office, it's crazy what happens. I talk about local issues. Everything I've talked to you about is a local issue.
Right.
Roads, healthcare, schools, all these things are local. The people who beat, like the person who beat me talked about opening up, you know, the pipeline. He talked about Joe Biden. He ran commercials on Joe Biden. So You're like, folks, focus. Who is doing what to your community and let's do better.
Well, so there's the wishful thinking, Johnny, the prognostication. More than ever, though, maybe we need more educators to be listening to this show to say, okay, wait a minute. If there are more, and I, you know, we use this on our show. We talk about our neighbor as being the person we need to try to convince to actually do some of these things. And as you said this, you know, with more teachers, because I, you know, in my little small community here, I know that most people, most of my neighbors see the teachers and the administrators of the local schools that they go to as good people, right? Mm-hmm. So knowing that, then is there this potential to say, if these good people stepped up and ran, you know, and again, it doesn't have to be for state representative. Maybe it is dog catcher, right? Mm-hmm. It's the fact of getting involved. Is there an ability then for educators to get active to help my neighbor understand that it's in their best interest to vote for educators?
Yeah. It starts with one person. And like for me, we're so far behind now. We haven't had anybody talking about progressive issues for so many decades that just by me, and I'm being partisan because I am partisan because I'm a Democrat, but this works for either one, right? But just knocking on a door and talking to someone and them realizing that I don't have horns growing out of my head. And, you know, I actually am just like them from their community. Was helpful, but it takes a long time for this to happen. And I hope that you have listeners that are Republicans or who are right-leaning and who say, you know what, my party has gone off the freaking rails lately with defunding education, with vouchers, with choice, with charters. They have just gone off the rails. And I'm going to be someone who is conservative, but I'm going to stand up for schools. We need everybody. And we can't function with one party, right? I can tell you that because I live under a GOP supermajority. We need two functioning parties to work.
Mm. Johnny, right there, Jess comes at that with the part of, you know, saying, you know, party might not even matter. The fact that is there the potential to reclaim the Republican Party? I know during break, that was a conversation that you were kind of putting out there. It's, you know,
well, yeah, I think there's a lot of folks, especially at the sight of seeing injustice happen, like the ways that schools have gone in so many areas to budget cuts to 4 days a week, which impacts not only your ability to be at work if you're a parent, but also, you know, how much instruction a young person is getting. We have a whole lot of things falling apart for all parties, whether you're a Democrat identifying family or a Republican identifying family. It does become a very important local issue. Education is not only a state right, but I think, you know, it even further breaks down to local districts and elected people mm-hmm. in those places. And I couldn't agree with Jess more. I think it's inspiring. The more we talk to one another about this, the more we make these issues important to place, right? And we're going to figure them out here, irregardless of whatever kind of mess is made at, you know, at the Capitol, even in our state or at our country's level. The way our democracy works is that locally we have a lot of power, especially in regards to education. And so whether you're Republican or you're Democrat, I love Jess is more than hope. She's an example and inspiration of it, of just saying, here's where I'm at and I care. And so let's have conversations about that and let's make something happen.
So making something happen, Jess. Okay, so you did that, and okay, losing. How does that, you know? Because if we're gonna step up, and I told you, Jess, the story when we were on the phone over the weekend, getting ready for this interview. You know, I ran for local school board in a small community in rural Pennsylvania. Went to meet with local people. At a diner who were going to figure out whether they were going to support me. And I came to find out that I was a raging atheist that wanted to take away Christmas. And how was I going to answer to that? Yeah. And I was like, well, I didn't even know that I knew these things about myself. But yeah. And guess what? I didn't win for school board. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, so how do we deal with the potential of a loss, or do you just go in and go, whatever happens? I mean, that's the other part of a person out there, a teacher, an educator thinking, I want to do this, but man, I'm afraid to lose.
Yeah. Well, I was born and raised in poverty. I've always been the underdog. I've always been the one that people discount. And so fighting and punching up has always been, you know, the way that I react and the way that I try to create change is just going at it full bore. I knew that, you know, it was near impossible going to happen. But it's still, like I said, it was worth it. So anyone listening, you can go in and absolutely know there's no way you're going to win, but it's worth doing. It's worth being in the ring. It's worth going out and telling people the truth about what's going on. Asking them to, you know, to ask for more, pay attention to what's going on with your kids and make sure that they're getting what they need. And across the country, it's being attacked. So anybody listening in any state can understand what's happening with teachers and how education is under attack, and just stand up. And who cares? And when it comes down to it, like, who cares? There's this great quote with someone who was like, if you're not in the ring getting your I don't know if I could say that or not.
Yeah. your butt. Yeah.
If you're not in the ring getting your butt kicked, I don't care about, you know, your comments. If you're not out here fighting with me, I literally don't care, you know, because I'm doing it for the community, for my kids, for your kids.
Well, and that's it. I mean, so we're thinking about this, you know, Jess, thank you for taking on Johnny's prognostication before he even made it. Now, though, that you've lost mm-hmm. and you're now not allowed to be a teacher because everybody knows you'll be inflicting.
Listen, you know, I mean, with the teacher shortage right now, they'd probably be like, heck yeah.
Yeah, they'd probably take you back now, even with your, you know, wanting to teach kids real truthful history and crazy stuff like that. But yeah. So what are you doing? What is your, you know, where are your influences? What are, you know, again, some of those other places that you plugged earlier? You know, what's going on with Jess Piper now?
Well, the biggest thing that I've taken on is a podcaster for a Democrat, but I'm also the executive director for something called Blue Missouri. And it's an organization that raises money for candidates, progressive candidates, Democratic candidates, and mainly red states is where we're seeing it. But I found out that I had I can fundraise. And I think that's a skill from being a cheer and dance coach. Like, it's like exactly the same. But anyway, so I found out I could fundraise, and that's what I'm doing. And 100% of what people donate goes to candidates. It doesn't come to me. We're paid off this little thing called tips. But anyway, everything, they're vetted by me. They gave to me. I trust them. And Blue Missouri.
Blue Missouri. Whoa. Okay. So actually, I love that. And we're Jess Piper, thanks for your time on Busted Pencils. Really appreciate your time. And what you just said, though, there at the end, the fact you didn't actually lose, the fact that you're now in the ring, as you just said, raising money for those issues, you're maybe doing more than had you been elected as a state legislator. So teachers out there, check out Jess Piper on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Missouri, Busted Pencils. When we get back, Johnny and Tim will break it down. Jess Piper, thanks again. Busted Pencils, more after the break. Now there's a reason. There's a reason to give it all. Leaded Education Talk. I felt like I wanted to, you know, jam away with Tim there and kind of start screaming. Educated Educators Talking Education. Johnny, great guest, sure, from Missouri. Jess Piper, 16-year veteran teacher, turns it into saying, I'm going to run for political office. I've had it. I see what's going on in schools, what's happening with kids, what's happening with communities, you know, and gave a great example of the prognostication that you were talking about, saying this 2023, the year of educators becoming politically active, running for office, stepping up to say the things that we do say, like we see firsthand, you said it, Johnny, the injustices, particularly around children and communities, we see them happening, the defunding of our schools, the defunding of playgrounds, the defunding of Friday night football, right? It's like all of these things. But, you know, what Jess left us with, though, Johnny, I wanted to talk about this with you a little bit, was, you know, we said about losing and the fear potentially of losing, and I talked about that, but the reality of her loss is that now she didn't lose and then go away. She lost and became even more active, and I'd say potentially more influential, that the fact that she's now on social media, on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram, out raising money for the issues. So there's that other example. And I was like, is that acceptable for 2023 prognostication of educators getting active, even if they get active in that way?
Yeah, 100%, Tim, because I mean, as much as I also include in that getting politically active, running for office officially, and, you know, hopefully fingers crossed and things winning elections, you don't just get your hat in the ring to win, right? You get your hat in the ring to make a difference and to continually sustain that effort, right? And so what's really amazing about what Jess continues to do, right, is focus on a bigger picture of what she set out in the first place to do to make change, really to see improvement in her local community and to not stand by and hope that it happens, but to say, you know what, I'm gonna be part of this, because there doesn't seem to be someone on the ballot representing these concerns or our community here. And so I'm gonna put myself forward to doing that. It's not an easy decision, but the success is not measured on winning or losing, right? The success then becomes how much of a dialogue is generated, how much misinformation is dispelled. And I want to come back to that, Tim.
Yeah, no, stay with that, yeah. Right? That misinformation, because you talked about it, and, you know, and we said that, you know, I had my own experience when I ran for school board under the advice of a lot of local people who said, you'd be great. You're an educator. You work in teacher education. I think you would be a great person on the school board. And so I'm kind of like, whoa, this is great. And then I go and meet with, you know, other neighbors in the community and find out from them that, according to them, you know, because I work at a university, I'm a liberal atheist. And the only reason I'm running for school board is to get rid of the Christmas pageant. You know, talk yeah. about misinformation, well, right?
Well, Tim, you know what we have is we've talked about this. We have a nation where democracy is in crisis, and it's on, I've said before, it's on life support. And part of the prognostication we talked about, and we made some jokes and metaphors about it, is that, you know, I do think our political system is getting wheeled out of the ICU and into critical care. And so these are important moments. And one of the core characteristics, key pieces to any democracy, right, is trust. and trust has been radically broken on the left, on the right, right? And we've really built this distrust even within party and one another and in our neighborhoods. And so priority number one, building trust. And one of the ways we do that is we show up authentically with questions and open minds and concerns that are local and close to us, things we understand, mm-hmm. things like Jess is doing, having conversations with her neighbor that don't end in a judgment of like, well, we don't get along now, right?
Right.
They recognize and respect the differences that they have amongst one another and continue to have conversations. This is key because it builds trust. And it goes forward so that when someone like Jess, whether you're a Democrat running or a Republican running, right, that people who may have questions or misinformation don't automatically assume that because Jess is running as a Democrat, that helping her or supporting her in election results in, you know, losing the right to bear arms.
Right.
Or that ends in a result of, you know, and there's some really manipulative misinformation out there. If I support Jess, you know, I may be contributing to a pedophile, you know, ring run by Wayfair. These are myths that are out there that have been disproven. But to be honest with you, Tim, that people believe, and I don't blame the people who believe them, because I do this all the time with my students. I play a game, how long until we believe the earth is flat? And we go on YouTube and we go into social media. And before you know it, all the information we're getting because of the kinds of searches we're doing,
right,
really makes a compelling argument.
Yeah.
That this is real. And so I don't blame people out there. However, you know, I have high hopes for as we build trust, we can dispel this misinformation, build relationships, and have both parties really humbled to the way the far left and the far right have kind of hyper-polarized things. And the real victims are everyday folks in the middle and across that spectrum who are trying to make things happen in defense of democracy, of human rights, of just well-being of one another. They're really trying to do that. It gets pulled into an either or, a really quick, well, you better support, you know, either you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. But what right. if I just care about people? Because both parties are doing a pretty awful job at different times of just caring about people, right? And so if I care about people and the environment and just a good life, right? And a conversation about what that good life can be or ought to be, then which party do I belong to? And it's folks like Jess who are shaking it up to say, well, yeah, I'm a Democrat, but I'm not your everyday Democrat. I'm the dirt road Democrat, right? And I hope that we meet and hear from Republicans who are doing the same thing. Say, yeah, I'm a Republican, but I'm not your everyday Republican. I'm not the one who's out there, you know, trying to run on particular single issues that manipulate voting people. Like that, these are really close to the issues that I'm local to, and they redefine their party. That needs to happen on both sides. And I think educators are right in the cut of being able to do that because that's what they're doing in their schools and classrooms all the time.
They are for sure. Evan, I'm looking at that going 10 seconds to music and okay, whoa, just making sure. Sorry. Frosted Pencils, fully led in education talk. Again, thank you, Jess Piper from Missouri, coming on the show. We're going to have her back to talk about rural public education for sure. Johnny Lupinacci, thanks for breaking it down. Evan Preston, always thank you for producing. Check you out next week. Busted Pencils, see you next Tuesday.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.